next morning to news of the surprise Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor and to the awareness that avoiding war was no longer a possibility. On June 5th, 1944, the world went to bed wondering when Adolf Hitler and his Nazi armies would be defeated and the people of Europe delivered from his iron grip. The world awoke the next day to the news of the Allied invasion of Normandy on D-Day. In our recent years, September 11th, 2001, many awoke to not many hours into their day at 9 o'clock hour in the morning. Our world changed forever. Of course, we know about the planes that attacked the World Trade Center in New York City and the one that went down over Pennsylvania. It all started, if you will, in the wee hours of the morning when we were sleeping. These nights, if you will, brought radical changes to our world. Our world has been shaken by events that happened in the night and changed how we live. Our night, however, or one night, however, thousands of years ago, an event that could never be matched by any other circumstance took place. Of course, that was the night our Savior Jesus was born. An extraordinary night from a human standpoint. You see, in our text, we read about the shepherds. We see shepherds watching their sheep one night. It was an ordinary night for them. And just a typical night, they're out there in the field, if you will, watching over their flocks. Maybe they had a little fire that kept a little light there, and they kept an eye on the flocks and so forth. The people in the villages all around Israel went to sleep off another weariness of a long, hard day. In Jerusalem, the high priest and the other men of the religious power slept as though it were any other night. King Herod had no idea that this night was going to be a night that would invade his kingdom and throne, and that a new king would be revealed. The world all over at this time were filled with people who drifted off to sleep, not knowing that God was doing eternal business in their very midst. They did not know that a Savior was being born in Bethlehem. That night, Jesus was born seemed to be just another ordinary night. Yet the events that took place in the calm of the night would reveal to be unlike any other night in history. So this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about O Holy Night. Many years ago, in 1847, a composer by the name of Adolf Adam wrote the words to a powerful Christmas carol, O Holy Night. The first verse goes like this, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is a night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born. And this morning, I want to consider the events of this holy night real quickly. Number one, it was a night of a profound message. In verses number 8 through 12, we find this, and there we're in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you, look at the personal here, if you will, bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You see the personal there. The angel tells the shepherds he came from heaven to deliver a message. And you see the glory of the Lord and them being afraid. You know, here they are, like just an ordinary night for these shepherds. They're out there watching their flocks. Very calm night, no doubt. Maybe the night sky was clear and crystal clear. You see the stars all over shining and twinkling and different things. Maybe the moon off in the distance. I don't know. Maybe a little campfire there. They were just kind of laying back, as I have when I was a kid. I used to love going out. We used to sleep outside as kids some in the summertime. And I used to enjoy that very much. And you take a clear summer evening We'd have our big sleeping bag and a mattress out there. We'd sleep on the front lawn there, and you could look up at night. I remember, and you'd see the Big Dipper and the Little Dippers, and you'd see the constellations, and it was a clear night, and the stars twinkling, and the moon over off in the distance, glowing, if you will. And of course, this night here was no different for these shepherds. But all of a sudden, it got very, very light. The darkness just all of a sudden became daylight, if you will. No wonder they feared. This message was a message of good tidings, of good news that will give joy to them and to the whole world. The angels appeared, the glory of the Lord shone around about, the light was there. The angel did not come with a message of judgment, but of peace to these shepherds. Let me just stop and say this. You know, relationship with Christ is a message of peace. You know, I don't concentrate on a religion. I concentrate on a relationship. I'm not in a religion this morning. I am in a relationship with Christ, and I serve a peaceful God. I serve the King of Kings, and he is the God of peace. We ought to be very careful of these religions who terrify and torment, by the way. But we better be very, very careful of that. But the angel, he came to deliver a message that would change the world, and this is the message that the world had been waiting for thousands of years, ever since man sinned in the garden. This world has been aching under the curse of sin. Back on that dark day, God made the promise to then Adam and Eve. If you remember, they had it all there in the garden. They were perfect at that time. They were sinless at that time before they sinned and so forth. And the old devil kind of slyly came in a form of a serpent. Maybe that's one reason why I hate snakes so bad. But you know the story and so forth. And from that day on, when she took of that fruit, she was tempted and she gave it off to Adam. Sin entered into the world. And on that dark day, God made them a promise. Genesis chapter 3:15, you write it down, read it later. But he made a promise to then Adam and Eve on that day that a woman would bear a son. And that son would defeat the power of sin and the serpent and the devil. Hey, let me tell you something. The devil can have a heyday right now. But let me tell you something. Sin will be defeated. You know what? Jesus will have the last word, by the way. The angel appeared to share the good news that God had fulfilled his promise. He has, if you will, fulfilled his promise. God always fulfills his promise. He promises salvation, and he gives your salvation. He promises provision, and he provides for you. He promises security, and he secures you. And don't ever think that God doesn't fulfill his promises. Don't ever think that he's so far away that he doesn't hear you. Hey, my friend, whatever you're going through this morning, he's right there. When was the last time that you presented your heartache? When was the last time that you just poured your heart out to an almighty God? What a powerful God we serve, and he wants to give ear to you. But when was the last time you talked to him in prayer? Hey, don't ever think that he doesn't listen. Don't ever think that he doesn't fulfill his promise. As the angel continues this message, he tells the shepherds about the birth of a baby. And it's not just this ordinary baby. It's a special baby. As he gives the message of the baby, he gives the baby three names, which is revealed in verse 11. Let's read verse 11 here. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, number one, which is Christ, number two, the Lord. He gives the baby three names, which reveal his identity and ministry of the child. He is called Savior. Why? Because Matthew 1:21, the Bible says he came to save his people from his sins. Boy, thank God for that. Boy, let me ask you a question. Is he your Savior this morning? Is he your Savior this morning? Are you sitting here, you're lost? You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior? Let me tell you something. The reason why he came as a Savior to all the world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save his people from his sins. This baby came to earth to lay down his life on a cross so that we could be saved. Truly, he is a Savior. Number two, he's called the Christ, which means anointed one. His name, this name identifies the child as the long-awaited Messiah to the Jews, not Barack Obama, by the way. This child is the one, no matter what they say, you know, he's not the anointed one. I tell you what, Jesus is the anointed one. He is the Christ, okay? But the child is the one to fulfill all this child, if you will. He's the Christ. He's the anointed one. He's the one that identifies the child as the long-awaited Messiah of the Jews. This child is the one to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies. This child will reconcile men to God because of the sin of Adam and Eve. That's where sin came from. Wherefore, as by one man, the Bible says, sin entered in the world and death by sin. Because of that, we are separated from God. But you know, he is a reconciler. Because of this, he is the Christ. He is the Savior. And he's the one that can go ahead in our sinful state. He's the only one that can go ahead and put God back with man again. Praise the Lord for that. He is the one who to whom all sacrifices and types, if you will, in the Old Testament have been pointed to. And number three is called Lord. This portrays him as the one who's in control. Boy, I thank God that God is in control. September 11th, God was still in control. You know what? Back on D-Day, God was still in control. Back in World War II and World War I, God was still in control. Hey, you know what? The economic depression going on right now. Hey, you know what? God is still in control. You know what? He is called Lord in verse number 11. This portrays him as one who is in control. He's not just a savior. He's not just a Christ, but he is sovereign. He is in control of everything that goes on. It's not the president of the United States. It's not the president of Russia. It's not the president, any leader. That's a human being. It is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who's in control. It is God who's in control. This child was no ordinary child. There's not a child like him. Amen. I'm not like Jesus. I couldn't be. You know, he knew no sin. He was God in human flesh. John 1:1. Read it later on. John 1:14. Read that later on. I want to keep moving, but you know what? He was God in human flesh. Philippians 2:5 through 8. You ought to read that later on. Hey, this creator, he became a man. Holy God became a man. Why? For us. For us. As the message goes on, the shepherds are told that they will find the Savior in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now we're on that profound message now still. Number one, it's a profound message. The shepherds are told they're going to find the Savior in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes is equals to strips of rags that are wrapped around a newborn to give them warmth. And of course, a manger, we all know what that is. It's a feeding trough for animals. Not the cleanest thing in the world. I've cleaned many a manger. You know, I just illustrate a little bit of what Jesus was born into here. You know, I grew up on a farm, and throughout the wintertime, of course, we'd have snow, obviously. We couldn't put our cows out in the pasture, and during the time of year, they'd all be housed in the barn. You know, and when you can't go ahead and allow them to get outside, I mean, I'm talking about 60, 70 head of cattle in the barn, tied up in stalls. They can't get out. You know what? It really reeks. I mean, more than any time, at least in the summertime, you can open up the windows and the doors, and they can go out and pasture. You have time to clean out a little bit and put fresh sawdust down. I mean, it takes a little bit of the smell down. But in the wintertime, especially, you know, they'd be in the barn. They'd be housed in the barn. And, of course, we had a barn chain that would clean out, you know, clean them out. Thank God for the barn chain. Before that, my dad got this novel idea that we're going to get this big chain that cleans out the manure, if you will, and haul it out to the back manure pad, if you will. You know, we used to have this, you know, it was two sides of gutters, and it was his boys were the ones that used to have to go ahead and do the shoveling. But boy, that barn cleaner was the greatest thing in the world, and we thanked him forever for that. But let me say this, you know, the stench. Of course, we'd feed them silage, and we'd feed them hay. They would feed out of their manger, if you will, out of that trough that they ate out of. And you know what? There's always loose ends. I mean, they wouldn't eat all. They kind of nuzzle the corn silage we put in front of them, and sometimes there'd be little corn and hay that they just would not eat, and it'd be up around. And if you didn't clean that out on a regular basis, it really got moldy and it stunk. What I'm trying to say is, our Savior Jesus humbled himself. He was placed in a manger. That moves me. He left all the glories of heaven. He was born in a manger bed in a stable. It's amazing how a newborn baby, a king of that, the Messiah, the Savior of all the world, the King of Kings, he was born not in a palace, which he so deserved. He was not born in a hospital. He was born in a smelly, noisy stable, an unclean stable. Friends, you know, we ought to, when you think about it, you know, probably all of us here, I don't know where you were birthed, but I'm sure all of us here were birthed in a much cleaner place than that. But Jesus, the Lord himself, he was born in a manger. This child was not wrapped in velvet like a prince, because he is a prince and he's a king. but rather he was wrapped in rags of a common man. This king willingly set aside all the glories of heaven in the form of a humble servant. He made himself poor so that we, through poverty, may be made rich, 2 Corinthians 8:9. He knew what it was to suffer, to do without the finer things of life. Boy, it's amazing when we don't have the very finer things of life, how we get a little fussy, don't we? How we don't complain, how we're not happy if we don't get what we think we ought to have. It's just not fair. But you'd never find a complaint in Jesus. So you will never find him complaining one bit about the life that he left from heaven. And he came as a lowly servant to be a savior. You'd never find him complaining. But he knew what it was to suffer and to do without. To live on total dependence upon his heavenly Father to provide. Matthew chapter 8. Let me just read this. Of course, this is part of our Wednesday night Bible study lately, but you know, this is how our Savior lived in Matthew chapter 8:20. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Talk about Jesus. You know, through his earthly ministry, there is times that, you know, you might find him sleeping out in the woods somewhere, or just laying down just on a hard surface or whatever. You know what? The Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. You know what? He knew what it was like to live totally upon his heavenly Father. If we don't have a bed to sleep on, we start whining. If we don't have the warm, comfortable quilt, we start whining. If we don't have the finer things in life, we start complaining. Boy, we ought to thank God for what we have. Thank God for the clothes that are on your back. Thank God for the roof that is placed over your head. Thank God for your family. Thank God for so much. We have so much we could be thankful for. But he was willing to leave all the glories of heaven. And I think he did so that he might identify with you and me. You know, don't think for a moment that when you have a need or a heartache that you're the only one going through it. Don't think for a moment that when you go through the trials that you're the only one going through it. You know, Jesus, so that he could identify with you and me. He didn't have to, by the way. He didn't have to leave the glory of heaven, the right hand of God. He didn't have to go ahead and do that. But, of course, it was the only way that for salvation. And what a great plan that God went ahead and implemented. But Jesus went through the heartaches and trials so that he can identify with what we go through. A king being willing to lower himself to identify with us. He had the faith in his Father that he would provide, in his heavenly Father that he would provide. And we must have the same faith that your needs will be provided as well. You know, I don't think today we're wanting anything. Not really. I mean, yeah, maybe we could use a little bit more money to pay the bills and different things. But you know what? We definitely have our needs met. I don't know of anybody in this room right now that is telling me I don't have a home to go home to today, though there are some out there today that does not have that. And by the way, we're going to reach out to them, folks. But the truth of the matter is, you know what, as far as I know this morning, we do have a roof over our heads. We do have some clothes. We do have our needs met. But Jesus, he had the faith in his Father that, you know what, Jesus, God, you're going to take care of me. Well, how we need that faith again. You know, it's amazing how we just start, you know, we get in a little uncomfortable position. We wonder where the money's going to come from. We wonder where different things are going to come from. We start whining, if you will. You know, and the truth of the matter is what we need to do is humble ourselves and pray. Say, okay, God. You know, I got this need that needs me. You know, I got that bill. You know, I got this heartache. You know this. It seems like we have a tendency to go ahead and draw away from that, from God and from him, when the truth of the matter is we need to go ahead and have the kind of faith that Jesus practiced, knowing that his heavenly Father was going to go ahead and provide for him. It might be that we go through the hard times so that we can get our attention back on God and off from ourselves. Number one, it was a night of a profound message. Real quick, number two, it was a night of a personal ministry. Verses number 8 through 11, we read them earlier. You can read through them as we go here. We see the grace of this ministry. Why do we see the grace? What grace is it? This message was delivered to shepherds. Let me tell you, shepherds in that day, they were considered outcasts in the society. Shepherds in that day, by virtue of their duties, they were considered ceremonially unclean by the Jews. Shepherds in that day, they, because of the work they performed, prevented them from regular attendance at the temple where they could be cleansed. And as a result, these men were the lowest of the low. They were the kind of people, they were outcasting. They were the kind of people, if you had that staff and that hook and so forth, a shepherd's staff, and you were dressed like a shepherd, you know what, they were, you were kind of bypassed. You were kind of, stay away from him. You know, they were the outcasts of society. Yet we see the grace of God here. Yet they heard, they were the first to hear the glad tidings. They were the first to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. What a picture of grace. It doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've fallen in life. It doesn't matter if you're a bus kid. It doesn't matter if you're a driving kid. It doesn't matter if you're a rich businessman. Hey, you know what? That shows grace. You know, Jesus, he loves you. It doesn't matter who you are. He loves you this morning. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. There is hope in Jesus Christ. You know what? The very outcast of the society of that day, they were the first to hear the good news. The Lord turns no one away, but he invites all to come and be saved by his grace. Regardless of what position you're in, there is a place for you in the love of God. Doesn't matter, you may feel like you're outcast this morning. Hey, let me tell you something. There's a place for you right in the center of the love of God this morning. Don't you let some sin, don't you let some disappointment, don't you let someone go ahead and criticize you and say that you're no good, cast you out of sight. Hey, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter. Hey, there's a place for you in the love of God this morning. Don't let situations stand between you and heaven. You come to Jesus and he'll never, ever, never, ever, never, ever turn you away. Thank God for that. You may feel that all's turned on you. You just come to Jesus. You may feel like, preacher, there's no other way. You just keep coming to Jesus. You may feel like, I just can't keep on going on. You just keep on coming to Jesus. You may feel like all is woeful in life. You just keep on coming to Jesus. You may feel like you're an outcast this morning, but you just come to Jesus. We're not only to see his grace portrayed, or the grace in the ministry portrayed here, but we see the glory of this ministry portrayed in its personal nature, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for I behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. Now remember the type of people that's hearing this, the outcasts of the day. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels are telling the shepherds that the baby born in Bethlehem is not just for the world, but he was born for individuals. You know, thinking of the shepherds, the outcasts, they knew they were who they were. They knew when the rich bypassed them, the rich would just kind of snub them. Maybe once in a while there'd be a graceful, well-to-do person that would maybe cast them a few coins. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is they were considered the outcast. They were considered that. And no doubt, when you think about it, that probably was a very discouraging position for them. You know, I don't know about you, but that'd been a pretty discouraging position for me if I knew that my position, my job, was a total outcast in society, was a kind of a no-good job, the lowest of the low. I think I'd be a little bit discouraged. I think I'd be a little bit discouraged maybe with a group of intellectuals maybe over laughing at their job and that they care for the sheep and they smell and they're unclean. I think I'd be a little discouraged. You know what turned out to be an ordinary night, and I kind of wonder if maybe some of these shepherds maybe had a heavy heart because of some of the things that was maybe said about them. I don't know. But here they were doing the job that was called to them to do. Just an ordinary night. Maybe they were reflecting upon the fact that, man, you know, guys, we are just total losers. You know, nobody really cares for us. Here we are out in the middle of a field, everybody's sleeping all around us in a warm home. But here we are, we're the outcasts of society. But you know what? The angels came to them first. So you're not seeing the glory here, the grace, the glory here. They didn't go to the rich businessman in town first. Those salvations for them, don't misunderstand me. But they went to these people. And I wonder when they saw the glory, at first they were scared. Whoa, you know, the bright lights. But of course they were inquisitive and they were wondering, wow. What's going on? Of course, this ordinary night just turned out to be an extraordinary night for them. You see the marvelous grace of God, and of course you see the salvation in them that night, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But you know what? What I'm trying to say is Jesus comes, was born not just for the world, but was born for individuals. We must never forget that the message of Christmas is a personal message. He's a personal God. You know, you need to know for sure. You personally need to know for sure that you're saved by God's grace. You personally need to know for sure that you have a personal relationship with Him. By the way, I can't live for God for you. I can go ahead and preach to you the unsearchable riches of Christ. I can go ahead and be faithful. I can go ahead and tell you what the Bible says. I can go ahead and go soul winning and show you what the Bible says. I can go ahead and lead you to Christ. But it's your responsibility for you to go ahead and develop a relationship with Him. No one can go ahead and serve God for you. No one can go ahead and get saved for you. It is a personal act that you must go ahead and be a part of. You must come to Him personally. He loves you. He died for you. He reaches out to you in this season and longs for you to be saved. If you are not, He gave His life so that you might have eternal gift of salvation. What a gift that is when you think about gifts this time of year. What a wonderful gift. What a gift to receive. If you're not saved this morning, you ought to receive Jesus as personal Savior. You know, it's better than any wrapped gift under the tree. Salvation is better than any wrapped gift. What a gift. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave willingly, by the way. Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a precious gift. My friend, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as personal Savior, why don't you accept the gift? Accept that gift of eternal life. You know, maybe you're here this morning, you are saved. Now, you know what? We ought to rejoice in our salvation. You know, we shouldn't just go around in the mully grubs and, you know what? We have Jesus live inside our soul. And we have something to be excited about. We have a mansion that He's preparing in heaven. We get to walk up and down the streets of gold. We get to go ahead and see the gates of pearl. We get to see the river of life. And but the greatest thing about heaven, we get to see Jesus one day. That gift of eternal life, that gift of salvation, He came into you. Hey, you know, we ought to be the happiest people around. Hey, we ought to be shouting this morning. We ought to be amening this morning. We ought to praise the Lord because we have the gift of salvation this morning. We shouldn't be down all the time. We shouldn't be just discouraged all the time. We ought to be shouting this morning. Then we see the goal of this ministry. Even though the message was given to the shepherds at this time, I think they were encouraged here. You're going to see it along the way. God intended for this message to be spread around the world. These men heard the good news first. They were the lowly and they heard the good news first, but they would not be the last to hear the good news. We're evidence of that, amen? If you're saved this morning, we're evidence of the fact that we're not the last ones. They weren't the last ones. And by the way, we ought not be the last ones to hear it either. There's a host of people out there. There's a friend. There's a relative. There's a co-worker that needs to go ahead and hear, hey, we need to be about spreading the good news. But thank God they were not the only ones. Thank God the message got to you from somebody. Maybe you were sitting in a revival meeting. The preacher got up and preached, thus saith the Lord. And the Holy Spirit of God convicted your heart. And you realized, I need to be saved. Maybe someone knocked on your door and they showed you the plan of salvation. And you received Jesus as your personal Savior. Hey, you know what? You got a lot to shout about. And we got a whole lot of things to do. We need to be spreading that good news. You're going to see in verse number 17, it indicates that once the shepherds met Him, they went out and proclaimed Him. They verse number 17, let me go ahead and read it. When they had seen it, they come to the manger. They seen Mary and Joseph. And by the way, they came with haste. Hey, let me tell you something this morning. You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. Boy, you ought to get up out of your seat and you ought to come with haste. You ought to run down the aisle later on and you ought to come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Hey, He's waiting for you. He wants to give you the gift of eternal life. All you have to do is receive it. All you have to do. But listen, listen. You know, this indicates in verse 17, let me just read it again, where they had seen it. they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. In the case, they went out and they proclaimed him. They made known abroad. That's why we have a missions program around here. Why? So we can make the name of Jesus known abroad. That's why we go out soul winning Saturdays and Tuesdays and Thursday nights, so that we can go ahead and make the name known abroad. Well, we have a responsibility. We ought to look at the personal responsibility. Hey, you know what? Them shepherds, that night they got saved. They went and saw. They went with haste. They heard the message. They got up. They were the lowly of the lowly. They didn't know exactly what was going on. But let me tell you something. The lowly of the lowly, they were still the outcast, but they got saved that night. And the Bible says when they saw it, they went out and they told people about it. Hey, you know what? That's our responsibility as well. That message was picked up by others. You know, if you can go back to the time you got saved, and they can go back to the time that they saw Jesus in that manger bed, the King, the Savior of all the world, they got saved, and they picked it up by others, and who went ahead and told others, that they went ahead and told others. That's how we make the name of Jesus known abroad. They went ahead and told people, boy, we have a precious message to go ahead and spread. By the way, it's all on our responsibility. We have the truth here this morning. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth. We have the truth this morning. We have that personal responsibility to take a track to some lost soul. We have that personal responsibility to maybe meet here on a Saturday morning and go out and tell people about the precious gift that you received. Well, how guilty we sometimes can be when we just kind of hoard it, huh? You know, well, that's not for me. You know, the Bible commands us, go ye into all the world. That's to me. That's to you. That's ye. That doesn't say go preacher or go deacon or go Sunday school. Go ye. That's everybody. We have that personal responsibility to go ahead and spread the message abroad. Hey, you know, it was a night. And you can see, you know, I'm not going to take time right now, but 2 Timothy 2:2, you know, Timothy is talking to, Paul is instructing a young Timothy, young preacher, and he tells him how to go ahead and preach a gospel to generation. I got it marked here. Let me just read it. It's the responsibility of us. And the things, verse number 2, 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me, meaning Paul, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know what? We have the responsibility to go ahead and take the word of God, take the message of God, and you know what? To give it to the younger generation, You know, Brother Robles hit it in Sunday school class this morning. That's why we ought to be zooming in upon our young people. Yeah, but don't misunderstand me. You know, I want to reach families and I'm going to reach adults and so forth. And that's exactly, I want to get us taught to a point where we can go ahead and teach our children the things of the Lord and teach them soul winning and so forth. But you know what? We're never going to stop reaching our young people. They're the hope for America, by the way. We need to instill this book in the minds of our children. We need to instill this book in the minds of our Sunday school classes. Hey, we just need to go ahead and be about spreading the gospel abroad. And then number 3, it was a night of a profound message, a night of personal ministry, one that is personal to us and how we must tell others as well. And it was a night of a prolific magnification. Verses number 13, 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Hey, think about it. An ordinary night, calm, silent night, holy night, all is calm. Very calm night. The message, you know, kind of things just started kind of getting a little bit exciting once the message, the messenger, the angel came to spread the message, tell the message to the shepherds. Boy, things started rolling at that particular time. In what began as a silent, calm night, before dawn, you could hear off in a distance in a stable. Because there was no room in the inn, in a smelly stable, but you could hear off in a distance praises on that calm night of those who are overjoyed because of the birth of a Savior. You know, I was calm at first. Boy, when Mary and Joseph, I can imagine, you know, like just like any other parents, yes, Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, a miracle is born and so forth. Hey, can you hear the praises of Joseph? Can you hear the praise of Mary? Hey, can you go ahead and hear the shepherds? They were rejoicing. They were praising him and they were magnifying him. The angels were magnifying him in verse number 13 and 14. And suddenly there was an angel with a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. When this message was delivered, the heavens were filled with a multitude of heavenly hosts and they couldn't help but cry out, hey, a Savior was born. The Savior of all the world is born. And they couldn't help but cry out, glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. Imagine how they felt their amazement as they watched the Christ child, the sinless, glorious Lord and Creator born of a helpless, as a helpless child. Imagine their wonder as God appeared before their very eyes as the weakest of humans. I don't think they could understand it all, but they're amazed and they praised him. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. Goodwill to it. They couldn't even contain themselves. Hey, can you contain yourselves about a glorious Savior being born? Can you contain yourselves about your salvation? About the very day that you realized you were lost and that you didn't know for sure you were going to heaven? Hey, you know what? And then when you asked Jesus, come into your heart, remember the burden that was lifted. Remember the glories that you cried, praise the Lord. Hey, you know what? You ought to still be shouting glory to God in the highest. You ought to still be shouting amen. You know, it's okay to say amen in church. You don't have to be dead, you know. You can say amen when the preaching's, when something hits you, praise the Lord. You can say hallelujah. You say, well, I don't want to be linked up with the charismatic crowd. Hey, you know what? We have the truth. We are the ones that ought to be excited this morning. Amen. Just want to make sure everybody's awake. They're amazed. You know, let me ask you, has a wonder of the birth of Jesus quieted in your heart? Boy, it shouldn't. Has the excitement of your salvation quieted in your heart? Boy, it shouldn't. Has the joy of serving the Lord and serving God and reading his word quieted in your heart? Boy, it shouldn't. Has the joy of praising the Lord during a church service? It's okay. Like I said a moment ago, it's okay to praise the Lord. I don't care if we're known as a shouting church. We're shouting for all the right reasons here. It doesn't matter, you know, and I know good churches, you know what, you'll hear the amen section, you hear people, that's okay. People say, well, I don't want to be part of, well, you know what, it's okay. Amen. If Holy Spirit leads you to say amen, just amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the joy of the preaching quieted. Does the angels do as the angels did, rather, and watch in amazement? Maybe this morning, you know what, as a Christian, it's died down, quieted down, huh? Maybe it quieted down simply because maybe there's some sin that's lurking in your life that ought not be there. I don't know what it is. You know, it's hard to go ahead and praise God when there's no sin in your life. But you know what, we have a God that wants to hear your confession, for he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. You know, it's hard to go ahead and hoop and holler and get excited and praise the Lord if there's no one sin. Maybe, you know, this morning you got to go ahead and lay it on the altar. You might just go ahead and have to lay it down and say, hear Jesus. And let me tell you something, when that burden of that sin is lifted, praise the Lord, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. Hey, you know, we ought to be a shouting crowd. Cry out with them this morning. But not only angels were magnifying him, converted people were magnifying him. Verse number 20, the Bible says the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as was told unto them. They returned, they came back. If you will, the shepherds found baby Jesus in the manger, and I think at that night particularly, they were saved. They left the manger as new creatures in Christ. You know, let me ask you a question. Have you been to the manger? Also, have you been to the manger this morning? Hey, Christian, maybe you've not been to the manger in a long time. You need to come to the manger this morning. Look down in that smelly cradle, manger bed. That should be a clean cradle. Where cows and horses and mules and animals would go ahead and eat. But that was where our baby Jesus was born. Have you been to the manger, Christian? When was the last time? When was the last time? When was the last time, Christian, that you've just come and said, "He laid it all out"? Angels, converted people were magnifying him. Shepherds found him that night in a manger. They were saved. They left the manger as new creatures. They made their way back to their flocks, rejoicing of what they saw and heard. I think it's sad today. It's just a sad account in Christianity that we've lost our joy. We just seem to have lost our joy. Yeah, you know, I know. Maybe all the world is falling apart, crumbling. But as we mentioned earlier, Jesus is still in control. Don't worry about your pocketbook. God will take care of it if you trust him. Don't worry about these. And you know, yeah, I know there's concerns, but you know, you just got to learn to give it over to Jesus. But we've lost our joy. You know, I've said it many times. I hope that when somebody comes to Faith Baptist Church, I know some of you come from just a hard day, hard week, but I hope it's a breath of fresh air to you. I hope that you feel that you're loved from this preacher, from one another. Hope that you can walk in and say, "I'm your preacher." I hope that you get what you need. Hope you feel loved and encouraged. And I hope that's what Faith Baptist Church is all about. We as Christians ought to be kind of even an island of hope to those that are hurting, by the way. They made their way back to the flocks, rejoicing what they saw and heard. They left with a new joy in their souls. Yeah, they were still shepherds. Yeah, they were still considered the outcast. Yeah, organized religion had no place for them. But they met the Master that night, and all things changed. A new relationship was started, and everything changed in their life. It was a night of a profound message, a minute of a prolific or personal ministry, a prolific magnification. Then it was a night of a powerful metamorphosis. In other words, it was a night of powerful change. Jesus had been born, of course, our baby in a text, born as a baby in a manger. And he was already doing, as a young baby, what God had called his father to do. Think about that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And as a little baby child, he was already fulfilling the will of God. A young person here this morning, you know what? You're never too young to jump into the will of God. God has something special for you, teenagers, young people. You know what? God has something really precious for you. You need to follow his will. And God can use you. It doesn't matter how old you are. If he can go ahead and use a little baby, there's not anybody in here exempt from being used. You know, it was a night of powerful change. Several people encountered Jesus that night. Of course, the wise men came along the way later on. But several people encountered Jesus. And everyone who encountered Jesus was changed forever. Remember when you encountered him? What a forever change, amen. There's nobody that can go ahead and take your salvation away from you because you're placed in the palm of Jesus' hand. Who were some of these people that was encountered? Of course, worshipers were changed, the shepherds. A woman who was changed, Mama Mary, she was changed. She experienced the grace of God when she was chosen to be the one to raise baby Jesus. Wow, imagine that. Mary was already a Christian, but she had watched her newborn baby receive worship as God, and she would never be the same. She would watch him grow strong physically and mentally and spiritually. She'd watch him through his years of growing up under her and Joseph being the kind of dad he ought to be, was teaching him. An earthly dad, that is, but was teaching him. And he'd go off and he'd preach and he'd heal and she would hear him preach and see him suffer. She would watch him die on the cross. Surely because of this night, she would never be the same. And you know what? The world has changed forever because of this holy night. It's not recorded as of right now. Our text does not record it, but it began in a little manger in Bethlehem. That's recorded. But what happened there never ended. The change is still going on. There's still people being saved today. There's still people that need to be saved today. Hey, you know what? The change will never end. Jesus grew up and died on the cross. He rose again, and anyone who places their faith in him will be changed forever. Praise the Lord. As a result of us going out and telling people about the Savior, people's lives will be changed. But we need to be faithful to that. As a result of us giving towards mission, people's lives all over around the world will be changed. As a result of that holy night long ago, life for you and me has never been the same, has it? Because of that holy night long ago. Certainly, it was a holy night. Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining. It was a night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he'd appeared and the soul felt his worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Maybe that's what we need to do again. Fall on your knees and hear the angel voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. O holy night. Profound message. Personal ministry. Night of magnification. It was a night of a changed lives. The whole world was changed forever. Christian, you lost your spunk this morning? Lost your zap? Lost that joy? Oh no, because you lost your joy doesn't mean you're not saved, by the way. There might be some reason that's keeping the flow of joy to come up. Maybe it's sin. Maybe there's something that needs to be unclogged. I don't know. Christian, maybe here this morning, Christian, you need to come to the manger, don't you? You need to go ahead and lay it all on the altar and say, okay, and leave. Change. Leave with that little spring in your step. Leaving, saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Goodwill to men. And the unsaved one, maybe you're here today, don't know Jesus as Savior. You can leave with that same spring. Excitement. Leaving because your sins have been cleansed. You came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Saying glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Goodwill toward men. What a holy night it was, huh? Reflect back to that night, that day, that time, that morning. I don't know. Christian, get that excitement back. Come to church and sing the songs of praise and get excited and yell amen, that's okay. And Christian, unsaved one, it certainly can be your time as well. You can go ahead and be lifted from the burden of sin simply by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. Sure to love you, and we thank you, Jesus. You left the glories of heaven to be born in a manger, in a stable. Oh, God, thank you. God, thank you. God, thank you for your salvation. Thank you that you left heaven to become like one of us. You know how we feel when we hurt and when we go through the heart. You know how we feel. Yet you never sinned. You died on a cross so that we could have eternal life. God, thank you. What a precious gift that is. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe here this morning. Maybe you're not saved. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. I'd encourage you this morning, don't delay that. What a precious gift you could receive. Maybe here this morning you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Heard the message several times. I've heard the preaching. I've heard it all. But the truth of the matter is I never really came to saving knowledge. Maybe you're like that this morning. You've never received, really received that precious gift. Just raise your hand. I won't call you by name. I won't embarrass you. But that's me. Would you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Okay. Maybe here this morning, Christian, shouts kind of died out, hasn't it? Been a while since you've come to the manger. Been a while that you reflected on that night, that day when you were saved. Maybe there's something in your life that needs to be dropped off at Jesus' feet so you can leave praising God, saying glory to God in the highest. If that's you, you say, preacher, that's me. Would you please pray for me? I won't call you by any name, but just pray for me. That's me. Here's my hand. Please pray for me. You know, there's some things maybe. You know, I have my shouts kind of died out, but you know what? I'm going to change that today. Here, that's it. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for this time. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The music's going to play. I surrender all. And if you've got to go ahead and make a decision this morning, won't you do it this morning? I surrender all. That's it. Oh, holy night. Oh, holy night. That burden you're bearing tonight, this morning, Christian, just come drop it off this morning. Give it to Jesus. He wants to hear you. He wants to hear your voice this morning. That's it. Invitation's still open. People still coming. I just want to remind you, please drive carefully as you leave today, and don't go out these front doors. If you could go use a ramp, maybe Brother Rick right after, if you could just check the ramp for me, just to make sure. I want to make sure. I know it's snowing out there, just don't want anybody to slip. Or if you could use the bottom stairs, that would be much appreciated, okay? Let's close in prayer. Brother Robles, would you come on up, and again, drive carefully, please. Bow our heads.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the preaching today. Thank you, Lord, for challenging us and letting us know once again, the focus of Christmas is the greatest gift that you gave to us, for God so loved that he gave. Oh Lord, help us as a gift to remove everything in our lives that would hinder us from seeing you clearly today. But help us to live lives that are surrendered to you, reaching others for you, bringing this gift, this life to others through you. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with us today. Dismiss us from this place. Give us safety as we travel home. Give us safety as we travel back. We thank you for all that has been said and done. And we thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. You all this.